Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Someone texted me from Ohio State that I know Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Pacific time. So it was 8 a.m. Eastern, but early Saturday morning, and told me this was going to happen. They said,
I wish they would have texted me because I would have broke the story on if it's somebody I really know, you know, a source, somebody you know and trust. You could have had that story on theshadowleague.com. I would have.
This was the first time he'd given me something.
So you wouldn't even know for sure if that was.
Yeah, I mean, I believed him because he's connected. But, you know, I was like, OK, this is great. But I didn't follow up on it. But he said that it's health, the health issue. The cyst is, you know, might be a little worse than people think. The cyst that, you know, he has in his head that he's had for years, it's really caused him some problems this year. And he said they are preparing. He's going to step down at the end of the season. And they are preparing for Ryan Day to coach the team next year. So he had the whole thing. And so I do believe, Rob, I know there's going to be people who are skeptical, maybe even yourself. I do believe it's health related because one thing I was told as well, this was a week or two ago, was that the feeling around Columbus was that Urban is so arrogant and cocky that he would not let – you know, he knew if he stepped down, the perception would be that he basically let the whole scandal with Zach Smith, like that whole fallout, drive him away from Ohio State. And the feeling was that he would not do that. Like, he's too arrogant to let that happen. And we saw even in his press conferences after the investigation and all that, he did come off as arrogant like that. But I believe it's health-related. And I do believe also, Rob, if his health improves over the next few years, I think we'll see him back in coaching.
Yeah, I think it's too convenient, and I'm not a medical doctor. I haven't examined him. I don't know what's going on in his body. So I'm not going to speak out of turn as far as that. If he says it's medical, then I guess we have to believe it. I think it's just very convenient. I think he was upset at what happened,
right,
and how Ohio State made him take the suspension. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't really buy into it, like he did anything wrong. And there's another part of me that just makes me believe that maybe, just maybe, there's another shoe to drop or more information or something, and he just wants to get out of Dodge. It was a bad situation, and it didn't work out, and it tarnished him. Whether or not, and I know he got the big win over Michigan, they still won 10 games, even though he was suspended earlier this year. What was that, the first three. And they still wound up, you know, winning 10 games, right? 10 or 11.
Yeah, he still had a great season.
So he had a great year and all that.
Just about got into the playoff, yeah.
But that damaged him. People looked at him and said that he turned his head and he didn't do what he was supposed to do as far as responsibility of having this guy in his coaching circle, you know,
yep,
and on campus with these
record
kids, that with that type, right, that he was protecting this guy. And I think that there is a part of me that believes he's just going to move on, and I don't believe even at 54 because the last time he walked away, it was health-related as well. I mean, and
so
everybody
you
thought
think
that
he'll
was
be
it
back, you're saying?
There's a good chance. He's not old. He's 54.
No, no. He's young. He's obviously a great coach, a great recruiter. And, you know, with a lot of these coaches, man, it's just in their blood. And it's hard for them to walk away from it.
Larry Brown kept coaching. He couldn't stop.
Larry's still trying to coach. If somebody
but
would
you
give
know
him
what I mean?
Job,
yeah, but he's like 80 years old almost.
Yep. There's always a part of you that thinks, man, if I had that type of money –
right.
And he is also a guy, not unlike some of these guys, but it seems like it even hits him at a higher level. He obviously gets stressed out by this, right? He's such a perfectionist that, I mean, you can just see the anxiety, how this stuff wears on him. the pressure of the big games. And obviously he does well in them for the most part, but it seems to really eat him up. And you wonder how much he's even able to enjoy the victories, you know, because somebody, I mean, when I see, and I'm going to be honest, Nick Saban, I think the best coach in college football history. But when I see him after they win a championship and he's like, tomorrow he's going out recruiting, or I feel kind of sorry for him. I'm like, dude, enjoy it. You worked your butt off. You won a national championship. You got to be able to enjoy the victories of life, I think.
He's not that guy, though. He's just not that guy. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know him real well. But obviously, he coached at Michigan State when I was a columnist for the Detroit News. And I was around Nick a little bit and talked to him, you know, one-on-one in different situations, Chris. That's just who he is. He hasn't changed, you know, at all. But in this case here, I just think the last time when he left Florida, that was, what, 2010. And then Urban Meyer was back in Ohio State in 2012. So you might see a similar situation. 2 years off, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
He's 56.
I can see that. Yep.
You know, and then he comes back and maybe he ventures to the NFL and says, maybe I'll go there for 4 years. I don't know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And we are talking, like a lot of other people, about the news of the day, which is Urban Meyer stepping down as coach at Ohio State after the Rose Bowl this season. And he said it's health related. Here's what he said at the press conference this afternoon.
I've had to deal with headaches for many years, and it came to a head in 2014 and then again last year and then this year as well. So as a difficult time that was, that didn't have an impact as much on the headaches, but it did have an impact.
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
Do you anticipate staying in Columbus and being around the program?
Well, there you heard it. He said he does not think he's going to coach again. Neither Rob nor myself believes that. But I do believe it's health related. Rob, you don't really buy that, right?
No, I'm not saying that I don't. You know, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I haven't reviewed his records or examined him, so I can't sit here and tell you that definitely. But I think the last time he left Florida, wasn't it health related as well?
Yep.
And he wound up coming back 2 years later.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is there's a chance that he could feel better in the next year or so and still have the itch. He won't be 65 trying to get another job and be out of the league, you know, be out of college football for 10 or 12 years. If you're talking about a 2-year hiatus, there'll be plenty of schools lined up for him. And not to mention that, maybe even a couple of NFL teams.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think, look, I think this is more serious, the health issue, than it was when he left Florida. But I totally agree with you. If it's cleared up, and hopefully it will be, let's be honest, hopefully.
You don't know, right?
Yeah,
we hope. It could at least subside.
Right.
Maybe what he's talking about, the headaches aren't as bad, or somehow, some way they go away or lessen, you know what I mean? And then he's like, well, I can still get out there.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. If he's able to coach health-wise, and not in pain. You could kind of see when you watch their games, some people may have thought he's just upset or he's embarrassed by what went down with Zach Smith or whatever, but it looked like he was not happy. You know, it looked like he was in pain. Obviously, one game he was actually kind of bending over in pain on the sidelines.
But he wasn't happy with the Zach Smith.
He wasn't. But I'm saying a lot of people looked at his demeanor on the sidelines. And some may have attributed to him being upset about that stuff.
Right.
Others, I attributed it to his health problems, as many others did. But I think if these are alleviated, why wouldn't he want to coach?
Why, there's
you
no
know
reason.
What I mean?
Like, there's
and,
no
like
reason.
You said,
and
the
you
best
know,
jobs will be there for him.
And you know these guys, Chris. They when you get into coaching, there's a bug. It's what you do. You know, like even guys will go on TV, you know, in between jobs. And the first chance they get, they got a cushy TV job. Maybe they don't make as much money, you know what I mean, as they would if they had a major program or were an NFL coach. But they get a cushy job. And a lot of them wind up going back when there's an opportunity. Now, there's some guys who never went back. Jimmy Johnson, you know what I mean, and Bill Cowher and people like that. They just kind of decided that they had had enough. But a lot of other guys always seem to want to wind up going back. You saw the 10-year layoff with Chucky, John Gruden, you know, 10 years away, and what did he do? He came back.
Yep, yep. And it's been pretty rough on him. So
he
I bet
sure
he
has.
Wishes he was back at that little QB camp or whatever it was he ran.
Exactly. But then again, 10 years is a long time. That's a big –
He was lucky
that's when
to
you're not
get back because
sure.
there is a time – for the most part, Dick Vermeil came back. Gruden has come back. But for many coaches, there's kind of a you stay out too long and you may never get that shot again.
People forget about you.
Oh,
they
yeah.
do.
And the game changes. The yep. game changes. Now, here's what I would say about Meyer. I don't think he should mess with the NFL. If he's able to coach again, I don't think he should mess with the NFL. One of his strengths, now obviously he was good strategically on offense, especially with the spread offense and all that. But I think his biggest strength, Rob, was recruiting. I think that was arguably his greatest strength. He brought top-notch talent to Ohio State and to Florida, and I think that was a huge strength of his. And obviously that has absolutely nothing to do with the NFL. And so I think he should, if he can coach again, stay with the college game. What do you think his legacy is? That's kind of something people think is complicated. What's your take on his legacy?
That he kicked Michigan's ass over and over and over again. I can't say it any more bluntly.
Well, and, he wasn't known because what? They beat Michigan, I think, 14 of the last 15 years.
Yeah, but
so
but
oh, you mean overall? I don't mean just at Ohio State. I mean overall.
No,
that's
I know,
the first thing you'll think of when you think yeah, of Urban Meyer?
Yeah, because no other – I mean, he beat Jim Harbaugh four times. No other Michigan coach was ever 4-0, 0-4 against Ohio State. And
but
this
Tressel
was a year.
Was beating up on them just like he was.
No, but not. But I'm saying with the Jim Harbaugh coming to restore Ann Arbor, this was supposed to be the year that Ohio State was vulnerable. I'm just saying when I think of him, that he owned Michigan. And he caused Michigan a lot of turmoil and a lot of problems. And I think that's how I look at it, especially with that last win, the 62 points in that game. And you know, let's be honest, he also owned the Big Ten. I think he only lost four games in the Big Ten since he took over.
Look,
so
I don't think
that's impressive.
I don't. You've seen this a lot. I don't think it's wrong to say he's the second best college coach in history behind Nick Saban. That's what a lot of people have been throwing that out there. And, you know, you can argue different guys, but I don't think you can find too much fault with that claim. The guy's got three national championships, two different schools, every single place he went from Bowling Green, Utah, obviously Florida, Ohio State. He turned around. It wasn't like he inherited great programs. He turned every one of them around. The dude's his record speaks for itself.
I'm just always leery of everybody who coached today is the best, and I'm always there were guys Bear Bryant and people who coached before.
Well, Bear, yeah, and Bear won the mythical
saying,
championships.
No, I know, but that was the system that they had.
Yeah.
But that was the system they had then. You can't take it away from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
And if you missed the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury fight on Saturday, you missed a great one. And that thrilling heavyweight blockbuster, a sure fight of the year candidate, will air on Showtime this Saturday, December 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time. And then Wilder versus Fury, the epilogue, that'll premiere immediately following the telecast. That's only on Showtime. And speaking of Wilder Fury, let's bring in the WBC heavyweight champ after, of course, that fight was a draw, Deontay Wilder. Deontay, welcome to the Odd Couple. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
We good,
oh,
man.
Doing great.
Now, I was at the fight Saturday night, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I've been saying this, and I caught some heat on Twitter for it. I thought you won the fight. And I don't think it was a question. And at the end of the fight, when it was announced as a draw, I expected you to be upset, but you almost seemed a little bit relieved. Did you really feel like you won the fight?
Most definitely. Although I didn't show no emotions afterwards, but I was just thinking, like, what is it going to do? You know, it's not going to do nothing at the end of the day. You know, whatever was going to resolve this is to have the two, and that was thinking in my head right there, because I've seen it many a time when you have controversial decisions, and, you know, the guy have erupted and said many things. Look at Pauly. Pauly known for that.
Right.
You know, but what have it gotten him? What did it do for him? You know,
Go ahead.
I like, what did it do for him? It's so many other ways that you can do it. You know, it wasn't that I was upset or not. You know, it was just, it wasn't going to do nothing for me. You know, and we handled it in another way. That's why we're having the two, that I'm going to get him a second chance immediately. That's how you handle that.
Yeah. I just, when you knock a guy down twice and in the 12th and final round, it just didn't feel right. I mean, if I had been at the fight, unfortunately I wasn't, I probably would have wanted my money back. I just would have been disappointed. It's just, you know, with a draw. Did you feel that way when you knock a guy down a couple times and he doesn't do it to you?
Most definitely. You know, when I did it twice, that was it. That's it. When I knocked down the first time, I felt like I was ahead. Then come and do it again in the 12th round. I like, that was it. You know.
Right.
But that fight should have been waved off. Anyway, to see a man eyes go in the back of his head like that and his head hit the canvas like that, that you know, you waved that off.
I know you were shocked when he got up, because everybody was shocked when he got up.
Man, for real. You know, God helped that man get up. I keep telling everybody he had an army full of prayers around him.
Right.
God lifted him from the dead all back up like that, because he nor I have a reason. You know, have an explanation or a reason of how he got back up, you know. But only God knows there's a reason for everything, and I'm taking it with that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I woke up, I was still a champion, and we can do it again.
Now, most people that think he won, they say he outboxed you. And I do think he did outbox you. You've knocked everybody out. I mean, he's the first guy you haven't knocked out that you've been in the ring with. And you obviously missed him a lot with a lot of hooks. Does a fight like this, will it lead you to go maybe work on more technical things or not? Would you just keep it the way you do it?
Yeah, we're gonna adjust certain things a bit. But the reason why it looked that way, because I was very anxious and to knock him out. That's my main thing. I wanted to knock him out so bad, you know, for this event. You know, it was a lot of pressure built up with this event. You know, just bringing the division back to America, to bring the excitement back to America, to have the response like I did, for people to show up like they did and be, oh, man, it was amazing. And I just wanted to end the fight with a devastating knockout as well, too. You know, people come to get dressed, they want to see knockouts.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to give them. And I was so anxious to do that I fleed from the game plan. And by me fleeing from the game plan, it allowed me to overthrow my punches over and over again. When I was telling myself, why you stop, calm down, just calm down. But my emotion got the best of me. And that's one of the things that I'm going back and adjusting. Just go back to myself, because what he was doing was simple. This fight was simple. I made it so hard for myself. And, you know, I'm kicking myself in the butt every day for it. Like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, I made this so hard. And, you know, like I said, I woke up this morning, I'm still the champ, so I didn't have to learn the lesson, you know, from it, from losing.
Right.
You know, I can learn the lesson and still have my title and look for the rematch and make it better.
But I love the idea that you even realized how important it was for the heavyweight division and this country's love for heavyweights that went away when basically heavyweights dried up. So just to hear you understand the importance of it and what you wanted to do and put on such a show, who were your favorites as heavyweights when you were growing up?
Well, Muhammad Ali is my idol, man. That's that man right there. You know, so many things that I look up to him for, you know, in so many different ways, you know. But I like him, Vander Holyfield, you know, Lennox Lewis, even Mike Tyson, you know, known for the knockouts. So you got to love Mike for the knockouts. And that's what we want to see. We want to see dramatic knockouts. And that's what makes boxing so great, you know, with the heavyweight division. It's the big guys that come to display and big power punches and knocking guys unconscious, you know. And you know, I look up to that. I like that. And that's what I possess as well, too, as a small heavyweight. You know, I'm small, but I got the power, you know. And that's what people come to see when they get dressed to see heavyweight. They want to come and see somebody get knocked out, man. Right. They don't want to see a whole 4-round fight. They want to see the knockouts. And that's what I do. And, you know, I just wanted to bring it back to America, man. And, you know, being in L.A., the last fight that was here was Lennox and Klitschko. It was a signed fight. And after that was Klitschko I can't even think of his name right now. But that was the last one. But Lennox was last 2004. That was the last of the American. Wow. That was the last of the talk. You know, people didn't even understand or know who was the heavyweight champion of the world. So I feel like it was a big obligation for me. I feel like it was a big responsibility for me. And here we had it. You know, I got my first pay-per-view out of the way, and it's a release from me, and I'm ready to do it again. I mean, he deserved a rematch immediately, and that's what I'm going to give him. This is the biggest fight in the world. This is the most talked-about fight in the world right now still, and I'm looking forward to it, man.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. We're joined by WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. Deontay, did you know he hit you a few times? Did you feel his power? Like, did he ever hurt you, or you know, did he hit hard?
No, not at all. Fury don't have power. He only have big man power. You know, he was 260. I'm 209 coming in. He just only had big man power, but I possess his real power.
Right. So you were at 209, and he was at 260. Wow.
Yeah, you know, when I came in the weigh-in, it was 212.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did something that I never experienced before. I won't say I've seen, but I've never experienced before. They weighed me in before I even went out. And I've never, you know, and me to get on the scale, I thought I was heavier than I was. So I'm happily getting on the scale, you know. And to look down 209, I was like, oh, my God, wow, how did I lose more weight?
Right.
It was crazy, but I couldn't let that get, you know, I couldn't let that bother me or whatever, along with everything else that was going on. You know, I had to go out and do what I had to do. I knew I had the power to compete against any heavyweight, no matter how big they are. You know, most of these guys outweighed me anyway, but I gave up 50-some pounds in that fight. And it was crazy, and still was able to knock him down twice. And that last one, man, I don't know how in the world he got up, but I know one thing, God is real, man.
I was saying that's as close as a guy that can get to being knocked out without being knocked out. I mean,
right.
But
I wanted to ask something real quick. What about if a sports writer weighs more than 209 pounds? Would you consider him fat?
What's I know that? You ain't talking about me, Rob.
I'm talking about you.
No, I ain't that heavy.
You weigh over, don't you weigh over 209 pounds?
Not even at 200, man, please. Deontay, look, I know you're disappointed with the draw, but look, man, this, like you said it, this is going to work out for you because you're going to get, I know y'all got millions for this fight, but your next fight, y'all rematch, everybody's even in more anticipation than the first fight. So you guys are really going to get paid. How soon do you expect that, the fight, the rematch?
Well, I want it early next year sometime. You know, it's all up on me and him, how well we recover from this. You know, we're going to take some time off. But, you know, whenever he's ready, I'm ready. And the networks is already ready. We're looking at maybe March, April, May, sometime up in there and to get this fight on, you know.
Great.
I can't wait. You know, a lot of people made it. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm in a lose-lose situation because everybody always makes excuses for my wins of my opponents. Just like with Fury, they made an excuse already before the fight happened, saying that, you know, he was out of the ring for so long, he was on drugs, and he's not going to do it while he's going to knock him out. But those same people is the same one that, oh, he won, and they won, and they cheated him, they robbed the same people. So, you know, I did what I did, and that's why I feel like God lifted this boy up. You know, God don't make mistakes. You know, this is the rematch is it's going to be even. Nobody has nothing to say. You know, it's going to be even. So when I do the same thing, I want my full credit. I just want people to love me for who I am. You know, I like I said, I speak it, I believe it, or I receive it. You know, I'm not a boastful type of guy. I just want to show people my greatness. I provide my service. I just want to show my greatness and show how great America and boxing is here in America. We, you know, we've got lives, put it on the line each and every time. And I just want the due respect that we deserve as boxing here in America.
Well, we can't wait to see the rematch, Deontay. And again, great show you put on Saturday night. And the thrilling fight will be aired on Showtime this Saturday, December 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time. And then don't forget the Wilder Fury epilogue will premiere immediately after that telecast, only on Showtime. Deontay, man, thanks for joining.
Yes, appreciate it.
We appreciate it, man.
Oh, man, thank you guys so much, and y'all have a great day. Blessings.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And the Washington Redskins, who've caught a lot of heat recently for claiming Reuben Foster off of waivers after the San Francisco 49ers released him because of an arrest for domestic violence. I'm going to throw a little more heat at him because
we saw
Colt McCoy get hurt in their last game, suffered a broken leg, out for the season.
They are snake bit.
They seem like it.
They lost two quarterbacks to big-time injuries.
Right, right. And now all they have is Mark Sanchez. They need another quarterback. And Jay Gruden, their head coach, he said that they actually considered – Colin Kaepernick,
but decided
to go against it. Here's what he said. Let's hear from him first.
We talked about Colin, yeah, you know, but we want to try to have somebody with a similar skill set, either A, that, or B, have somebody that's familiar with the things that I've done in the past with terminology, because it's such a short week playing after playing Monday night, get up to speed, and to have two different sets of offenses is almost impossible right now to try to get taught.
I'm crying foul.
I'm not buying it. It sounds ridiculous to me.
Right. I mean, look, we can't say for sure whether they discussed him, but I tend to agree with you. I think he's just saying what he knows people will want to hear to keep a little more heat off his back. But I'm saying this. Colin Kaepernick, look, don't act like he's just a one-trick pony. And I'm not saying he can master every offense out there. But – Mark Sanchez?
I know. Well, but
you got Tom Brady in front of him.
I get that, but I will say this, and I know a lot of people, it's easy to just bang on Mark Sanchez, and I'm not trying to justify anything, but he did win four
World
Playoff games.
That was years ago.
I know. All I'm saying is,
and Colin Kaepernick got to a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's just easy to
yeah, it's easy because he's not that good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see him Sunday?
I watched. Yeah, I saw.
Or Monday?
Yeah. But if Colin had a bad day like that, you wouldn't say that he couldn't play. You would just say that he
Colin didn't. Has a better track record. That's
no,
why.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm not making the excuse. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to say I think it's easy to just discount Mark Sanchez all the time.
Because he's not that good. I mean,
he beat Tom Brady in Foxborough.
You're talking about
game.
Years
I'm just
ago.
Saying.
He's had plenty of opportunities since then. And he hasn't delivered.
I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm just saying I think it's been over the top with just bashing Mark Sanchez. That's all I'm saying.
My point is this, and I wasn't
trying
to bash Sanchez.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I was saying that you have a quarterback out there in Colin Kaepernick who clearly, if you look at the stats, if you look at even past performance, and you could credit Mark Sanchez, but Kaepernick's record is better. He got a team to the Super Bowl.
I get that.
And
that's not even the issue.
Well, the issue to me is, are you trying to win? You're still in the playoff hunt.
They're not trying to win. They've thrown in the towels.
What are they trying to do? Why? They're 6-6 in that weak division. Because they're still very much alive.
Well, I don't believe it. I don't think that they really want
to
win.
So what are they trying to do? They're not going to get the top pick.
Trying to save face, I guess, because they said their general manager said they would never sign Colin Kaepernick. So
that's the problem.
Well, that's what they're doing. When your GM says that, under no circumstance, he's proven it. Go look at it. It's a quote on the record.
No,
under no
right.
circumstance would they sign
so
Colin Kaepernick.
So what is Jay Gruden even talking about? Didn't it sound
that's
like
what I'm
maybe
saying.
He's lying through his teeth?
It doesn't make sense to me because for your GM to put that out there and then your coach to go, yeah, well, we talked about him. I don't believe it, Chris. I don't believe they talked about Colin Kaepernick for 2 seconds. I don't believe it.
I hope somebody asked him that.
And that's
you're
why,
right. It's out there. So why'd you talk about it if your GM came out and
it's
said
on
you're
the
not
record.
Signing him?
He said
now,
under
and
no
Gruden,
circumstance.
Gruden also said this was strictly a football decision not to sign him. And my point, Rob, and this is why I brought up Mark Sanchez, is, I mean, if we're going to say one guy because he played in one system can only play in that system, you're going to tell me Cam Newton can only play in one system? Deshaun Watson can only play in one system?
You make adjustments.
That's what I'm saying.
These guys, and
even if Kaepernick isn't as good in your system, my point is that he probably could be as good as Mark Sanchez in your system. And I get Sanchez knew a lot of the people in Washington and all that, their relationships.
It's all about that, Chris. It's about
right,
relationships.
That's what it is. It shouldn't be in sports.
It shouldn't be about performance. It's supposed to be the ultimate equal playing field, right? More so than anything else in this country. That's why the NFL's 75% black and the country's 75% white. Because it's not based on anything other than your ability. It's supposed to be. But the NFL's gotten away from it this year, or the last two years when it comes to Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where we are now. And that's why I'm distraught over the NFL and this whole notion, and I'm happy. I hope the Redskins don't win another game and lose the division because they're not trying to win. And when you're not trying to win and you're playing politics and you're doing all this other stuff, you don't deserve to win. And I hope they don't win another game.
Well,
that's me.
No, you could be right. I mean, they're not winning that division. They're not getting to the playoffs because, as you said, they're not trying. And
they're not trying hard enough for me.
The hardcore fans of that team need to be in an uproar. You are not out of it. How many years is the NFC going to be horrible like it is right now?
Right. Well, you have an opportunity.
You're right there. You're right there. You were ruling the division a few weeks ago. Now you lost three straight. You lost your two quarterbacks. And there's a capable quarterback out there whose passer rating and all of that is better than Mark Sanchez's. And you won't even look at him.
And Chris, so the Redskins are leaning towards Josh Johnson. And when you compare – I know, Josh
Johnson. Why don't they bring in Nathan Peterman?
I mean, who? But Kaepernick has a higher completion percentage. Higher passer rating, higher yards per attempt, 7.3 to 5.9, and touchdowns, Kaepernick 72 to Josh Johnson's 5. And when it comes to wins, Kaepernick has 28 and Josh Johnson has 0. This is what we're talking about. This is why the Redskins should never win another football game this year and should lose the division. Because they're not keeping it real. They're not being honest. It's about going for the best guy available, and that's not what they're doing right now. So let them get Josh Johnson. Let them not win another game. God forbid Mark Sanchez doesn't get hurt, and you don't have to put this guy in. But it's pathetic. And if I were a Redskins fan, I'd be furious that they're not going for the best quarterbacks that are available out on the market. It doesn't make any sense.